Call the West Lafayette Village Council meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge and prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for granting us the privilege to meet tonight. We ask for your blessing, wisdom, and guidance as we conduct the business of the village. Amen.
Amen.
Roll call.
Janie?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Orton?
Yes.
Voss?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yep.
Okay, you've all previously been provided with a copy of the regular council meeting minutes of January 10th, 2022. Unless there are corrections, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Mauer?
Yes.
Orton?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Voss?
Yes.
Janie?
Yes.
Okay, tonight's agenda. First off, when we get through regular business meeting, the solicitor has requested an executive session to discuss litigation. So after we get through regular business, I'll entertain a motion to do that at that time. First, we will have the opening of bids for the equipment that we've had out for bid. Then we'll follow out with the state of the village address, which is required by the Higher Revised Code each January. We'll do correspondence, move into citizen comments, and then through the rest of the regular agenda. So, with the bids, Tammy, if you want to come up and get through these. First bid is from Brett Patty for the Crown Vic, and he has bid $689.18 and has a money order in the amount of 10% for that.
What was that last name, sir?
Patty, P-A-T-T-I. Next is a bid for the Crown Vic, and the bid amount is $1,200, and there's a $120 money order included, and that's Jason Conkle. Cashier's check for $75.52 from William Dowery Sr. But looks like it's a bid for the 2011 Crown Vic for $755.20. Cashier's check from William Dowery, and appears to be a bid for $605 for the 2005 Honda. This is a bid for the 2005 Honda, bidding $700. We have a cashier's check for $70. And it's Harlan Stebbins, Stebbins, Jr. Troy Connell, C-O-N-N-E-L-L, for the Ford Crown Vic. The bid amount is $601. And last up, again from Troy Connell, a bid for the Honda of $601. So I guess we need to determine who are the two highest bidders. There was one for the Crown Vic for...
I have Jason Conkle for $1,200 for the Crown Vic, and Harlan Stebbins, like you said the last name was, for $700 for the Honda.
And no bids on the street sweeper. So, entertain a motion to approve awarding the bids as so stated.
Motion to approve the bids as stated.
Second. Moss?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Maurer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. If for some reason the bidders are watching, the fiscal officer and village administrator will be reaching out to the successful bidders to take care of closing those bids up. Okay, next up is the State of the Village Address. The Ohio Revised Code requires that the mayor of a village or city in January of each year has to present a State of the Village, State of the City Address, and as such, we will go into that now. 2001 was a year of challenges, disappointments, and accomplishments in the village. In 2021, we were faced with COVID, the COVID pandemic, and it continues as we face the various different variants. While we have adopted and adapted to different lifestyles, we continue to move forward with many positives in 2022. As I start this address, I need to acknowledge and thank my staff, the officers of the village, specifically the fiscal officer Amy Bourne, village administrator Tammy Hicks, previous village administrator Christopher Menopays, Fire Chief Damon Gold, and our new Police Chief Chris Walters, all who work hard and more hours than they are paid for. The efforts of these individuals and their staffs made it possible to accomplish the task put before us. We started 2021 with a carryover of $2,760,523.23. $1,906,705.68 without the water fund, and ended the year with a carryover of $2,039,909.05, an increase of 6.9%, which is $133,203.37 since the loss of the water fund. The general fund took more of a hit with the adjusted payroll expenses due to the loss of the water fund, and yet had an increased carryover of $10,000. The 2022 budget is $1,632,428. The fiscal officer, Amy Bourne, completed the installation of the new CMI Authority Finance and Payroll software and completed the 2019-2020 financial audit with no findings. She attended many virtual trainings since COVID-19, did not allow in-person trainings. Trainings include CMI for financial software, annual training for public treasurers with the Ohio Municipal League, Ohio Association of Public Treasurers, and the Municipal Finance Officers Association. She worked on finalizing the CARES Act distributions and reporting and establishing processes for the spending of the American Rescue Plan Act's fund. She attended many webinars and trainings on the proper use and reporting of the ARPA money. Total ARPA money received to date is $120,830.35, and another $120,000 is expected in the early summer of 2022. Amy's goals for 2022 are to implement direct deposit for payroll using the new financial software and continue professional personal development with training. The fire department is currently staffed by 20 members. The members consist of one chief, two deputy chiefs, three captains, two lieutenants, and 12 firefighters. One member retired or resigned from the department in 2021. The West Lafayette Fire Department responded to 169 calls for service in 2021. The call groups were as follows: fires, 31, EMS assist, 62, good intent, 36, hazardous conditions, 26, false calls, 11, service calls, 3, calls by location, Village of West Lafayette, 53, Lafayette Township, 44, Oxford Township, 29, Linton Township, 15, White Ice Township, 12, mutual aid calls were 16. Firefighters volunteered 2,404 hours last year. Fire losses in 2021 were $1,048,751. Most of that loss, $900,000, was the Hilltown Country Market on County Road 16 on January 18, 2021. Other significant activities completed in 2021 were that the department made the final payments on the 2017 tanker, and we put into service a new 2021 Ford F-550 Joe Mack Rescue. Total cost of Joe Mack Rescue, including equipment purchased with Firefighter Association funds, was $96,739. The unit was put into service in September of 21. The rescue truck has been paid off as well. The department has purchased a 2022 Pierce Enforcer engine to replace our 1985 Pierce Dash engine. The pre-build inspection was completed at Pierce in Appleton, Wisconsin, the second week in December. The engine is scheduled for completion in July of 2022 at a cost of $680,000. We would like to thank the citizens for their continued support of the department through our fundraising activities and levy support. None of this would be possible without you. Thank you for helping us protect you. During 2021, the police department had a number of internal issues and, with much disappointment and pain, has come through the period of difficulty and is rebuilding. In October 2021, Christopher Walters was appointed police chief after serving 21 years at the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office. Prior to that, he had served here in West Lafayette for 5 years. The police department consists of the chief, a sergeant, one corporal, a patrolman, and three part-time patrolmen. All the officers at the police department are certified by the state of Ohio and are declared to be law enforcement officers of the state and conservators of the peace with authority to arrest. (clears throat) 2021 brought some new faces to the police department. Full-time Corporal Jose Hernandez came on full-time in late September of 2021 to the swing shift after serving part-time at the department for a year. Corporal Hernandez uses his 16 years of experience to serve the village. Thomas Coates was hired as a full-time sergeant the 1st of December 2021 and assigned to the evening shift. Sergeant Coates brings with him 20 plus years at the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office, where he held numerous positions and roles to include sergeant, detective, special response team, and hostage negotiator. Sergeant Coates was also an investigator for the Harrison County Prosecutor's Office for 4 years, full-time patrolman at Stralsburg Police Department for a year and a half, and is assistant chief at the Port Washington Police Department. Officer Brandon Bishop was hired in mid-December 2021 and assigned to night shift. He brings with him 9 years of experience to the department. Officer Bishop is also a part-time officer at Midville and Port Washington Police Departments and is a state-certified firearms instructor. The police department utilizes three part-time officers, Patrolman Donnie Bradford, Patrolman Aaron Kobajal, and Patrolman Amanda Rossiter, to fill in when needed for scheduling. Each officer shows excitement for the new direction and restructuring of the police department. Moving forward into 2022, we are excited to continue service projects such as the Easter Egg Hunt, Kids Carnival, and National Night Out at the Park. The police department's annual report is available for view and are as follows: 5,691 calls for service, 364 reports were taken, 57 traffic crashes, 508 traffic stops, 125 traffic citations, 88 civil papers served, 9 warrants served, 9 OVI arrests, 37 misdemeanor arrests, and 14 felony arrests. The 2021 Village Administrator Year-End Report. The Village Administrator started the year with Chris Menopays, with Chris resigning in the third quarter to take on other employment. We wish him well in his current endeavors. Our new Village Administrator, Tammy Hicks, started with the Village in December. The Office of the Village Administrator oversaw many projects in 2021. The conversion to the Coshocton Water was the major project in 2021. With the exception of a few contractual items that have been addressed, the project is complete. The street department collected 48 boxes of leaves during leaf collection last year, down from the previous year, due largely to the trimming of the street canopy. 20 tons of salt and sand was dispensed during the winter months. Street paving included Wall Street and West Platt Streets. 4 alleys were paved with asphalt grindings. Due to a grant program, many street signs will be replaced. Street signs were ordered and will be delivered through the Lafayette Township. The Parks Department had a new restroom facility constructed at Waterworks Park. Building permits were issued as follows: 25 building permits issued. Of these 25 permits, there were 2 new homes, 12 fences, 6 garages or storage buildings, 2 picnic shelters, 2 room additions, 1 driveway. $1,026.76 in building permits fees were collected. 2 sewer tap permits were issued with $1,200 in fees collected. Code enforcement and compliance resulted in 74 citations being issued and a breakdown as follows: 9 dilapidated structures, 12 junk autos, 27 nuisance noxious, 7 tree shrubs, 19 grass and weeds. 19 grass and weed complaints were corrected. In the wastewater department, Ryan Cottrell obtained his Class 2 license that is now the Village of West Lafayette's operator record. Nathan Gress was hired as a part-time operator in training in March and has since passed his Class 1 test and is expected to receive his Class 1 licensure in April of 2022. Ryan and Nathan have improved the efficiency of treatment at the wastewater plant and quality of life in the village through the following projects. The wastewater treatment plant treated 63 million gallons of raw sewage and sludge was belt pressed once. No sludge was land applied in 2021 due to the timing of inclement weather. Security and safety lights were repaired by Hillshire Clark around the class clarifiers and at the mix box. Chain tensioners were added to solve the issue of clarifier malfunction due to chains slipping off the sprockets, and insulated guards were fabricated by the wastewater plant staff to prevent lockup from freezing and cold temperatures. Treatment process changes were made such that the bacterial foam in the aeration basin and clarifiers was significantly reduced, vastly improving the quality of effluent discharge to the river. There's a new revenue stream in the form of treating the waste from septic collars Combined, the septic callers have provided an additional $10,614 in additional revenue. The force main system that runs from Pearl Valley Cheese to West Lafayette is now under the ownership of the village, which provides additional revenue. Modifications were made to the caps of the cleanouts and the force main, reducing the time required to maintain the line. The Pearl Valley Cheese lift station now has a backup system installed, granting an extra layer of protection from overflow should the primary system fail. All sewer lines were inspected with the crawler camera, and likely for the first time, all accessible sewer lines were properly jetted and cleaned for the entirety of the village. After jetting, the lines were thoroughly inspected with crawler camera again, and no critical issues were found. All lift stations now have security lights installed. Their wet wells were also all properly cleaned out. River Glen's lift station in particular was given a significant upgrade by having new rails, bases, and discharge pipes installed. A new storm drain was installed on Fifth Street by the bus garage to Kirk Street. The village replaced the storm drain at South Oak from 6th Street to Ridgewood Middle School. The catch basin at Union and Center Street was repaired. The village administrator's goals for 2022 include a $3.38 million critical infrastructure grant, begin the work on the new storm sewer and sanitary sewer outfall project, replacing the village main line for stormwater drainage to the river and creating a septic sanitary sewer outfall to the river, and replacing the old storm sewer, which was sealed on Main Street from the intersections of Oak to Gay Street, with a 24-inch storm sewer line. The Ohio Department of Transportation will be paving State Route 93, North Kirk, Main Street, and Plainfield Road this coming summer. Replacement of a sewer line in Indian Circle to 7th Street, the Neighborhood Revitalization Grant, which includes many upgrades and additions at Waterworks Park, street paving, parking lot paving, street lights, and improving ADA at the Village Administration Building. There will be additional paving throughout the village through the Ohio Public Works Grant, which include Gay and 4th Streets. We will finalize the grant applications for the Safe Routes for Schools and the TAP grant, which provides funding for sidewalks. The village administrator will encourage the residents to participate in aesthetics and pride in their village. Village Council faced many challenges and made many positive moves for the village, which included a 2% pay increase for village employees for 2022 and restrooms for the water park ball diamonds. A special thank you and sincere appreciation to the village employees, the street department employees John Newell, sewer operator Ryan Cottrell, Nathan Gress, office manager Amy Medley, police officers and firefighters for a job well done. Thank you, Solicitor Joel Blue, for his patience and his guidance. Thank you to the West Lafayette Rotary for their continued beautification projects on Main Street and the West Lafayette Chamber of Commerce for broadening the business community and moving the village forward. I must thank the citizens and the employees of the Village of West Lafayette for their support through 2021, a difficult year, and for your continued support in 2022. We hope that 2022 will prove to be a good year and that the residents of the village will continue to take pride in their homes and ensure that they personally make every effort to comply with the village ordinances to ensure an attractive village is not only attractive to those of us who are residents and call this home, but to the business opportunities as well. If we don't invest in our own community, how can we expect outsiders to do so? Respectfully submitted, Stephen R. Bordenkircher, Mayor of the Village of West Lafayette. Okay, if my voice holds up here. Under correspondence, I have several things here. First off, got a notice from the Ohio Municipal League that the league announces the dates and location for regional conferences. They will start those, hopefully in-person regional conferences, They are as follows. On Friday, May 20th, Ohio University Inn and Conference Center in Athens. The Northeast, Friday, June 10th at the Hilton Garden Inn in Akron. The Southwest on Friday, June 24th at the Marriott Northeast Mason. And Northwest, Friday, August the 5th at the Hancock Hotel in Fenley. And for council members, and this will also be very important when we find a new council member to appoint, training seminars that are required for new people and are highly recommended for those of you sitting around the table. Those training sessions are as follows. On March 5th, Cincinnati Marriott Northeast. On March 12th, the DoubleTree Columbus in Worthington. And on March 26th, the Embassy Suites Rockside in Independence. That's up near Cleveland. About a week, 10 days ago, we finally finalized the contract with Palmer Energy for our gas aggregation. And we signed those contracts. And the rate that we locked in at was 5.65. Anybody cares to review the four-page document, you're more than welcome to. It's here. And the final piece of correspondence we have, Council-elect Bordenkircher, Craig Bordenkircher, has resigned. You've all been provided with copies of his resignation. I would entertain a motion to accept that resignation.
Make a motion to accept Councilman Bordenkircher's resignation.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Lusk?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Craig Bordenkircher has requested to address council. Craig, as you should be well aware, the rules of council give you 5 minutes to address council, so you have the floor.
Thanks, Mayor. Evening.
Hello.
Yeah, it's this isn't how I'd like to be in these chambers right now, but unfortunately, this is the necessary. I'm going to start. Has everyone seen the letter that was sent to me in November? Mr. Fortune, you should recognize this letter. Yeah. This is your signature.
Yeah. I can't see it from here. I don't know what the letter is.
You want a copy? I got plenty.
No, I couldn't see what you had.
In this letter, I am basically being told I'm suspended from council for allowing conditions to exist on my property in violation of village ordinances. Have y'all know, I've never been in violation of a village ordinance. In your own words from this letter, it states, as a member of village council, you swore an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Ohio, the ordinances and resolutions of the village of West Lafayette, as well as to faithfully, honestly, and impartially discharge the duties of council for the village of West Lafayette. Are you guys aware of the 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendments of the United States Constitution? They all pertain to the presumption of innocence. I was accused. I've now been acquitted. All 5 members sitting around this table this evening have violated my rights. I did not have a presumption of innocence. This council suspended me because I was charged maliciously. This village could not prove a definition for why I was charged. I was maliciously charged by this village. My rights have been stomped on by this council. You also talk about violation of the rules of this council. There's not a rule that I can find that I've seemed to have violated. You signed this, Beau Fortune, council president. You have violated the rules of this council. Per the rules set forth by this council, You are the council president pro tem. Council president is the mayor. That's what you accused me of. You were wrong. Ohio Revised Code, the Sunshine Laws. Everybody around this table is taking training on it, right? Everybody knows what these are. Are you aware that you violated those? Sunshine Laws, a public body may not hold an executive session to consider discipline of an elected official or conduct related to the performance of the official's duties to consider that person's removal from office. I believe that's happened. Also in there, public body can invite non-members to present in an executive session, but cannot exclude other members of the public body from an executive session. That happened twice. Everybody here swore to uphold an oath, right? You swore an oath. Couldn't do it. I've been slandered. Had my name dragged through the mud. All maliciously. By this body, by a previous employee of this village. What's the proper course of action? I mean, you guys brought a witness in to a trial. They claimed to have sent me letters in 2018. I didn't own the house in 2018. Where was your due diligence? It didn't happen. I'm faced with a really hard spot right now. Do I go down a legal trail? Do I drag this village into a legal suit? Do I drag each one of you? Trust me, it can be done. I don't want to. This village has enough problems. We don't need that. But at the same time, where's the accountability at? See, five people who have knowingly violated the law, failed to uphold the United States Constitution, sitting around the table. What happens the next time? Is it someone who doesn't have the means to get up and fight?
You've got about 30 seconds.
That's fine. I've made my statement. What happens from here is up to you.
Now I'm going to make a statement to you. You were given an absolute gift by the past administrator that he did not charge you with more problems with yards that were documented. You admitted under oath that there were several problems, that you had received those letters. You were given every bit of due process through not only counsel, but the court system. Having been an attorney for over 10 years, having worked in the juvenile court, I've lost cases to children who conduct themselves with a multitude of greater grace when I've lost to them than you. This is an absolute joke of a case, an absolute travesty of justice. If you need to go out and sue the village to make yourself feel better, that's fine. You'll find out what happened during that temporary suspension that caused you to be temporarily removed pending a hearing before you step down. If you want me to go ahead and charge you with the other violations for your yard that Chris Menefee did not charge you with, we can do that too. We're still in the appeal time. I can file an appeal on this. This has been, even the judge at the hearing repeatedly told you how ridiculous this is. And you want to talk about somebody who's being picked on because they can't stand up for themselves? You absolutely did. You absolutely stood up for yourself. You went to court, you hired an attorney, done it. You won. Congratulations. You did win your case. And you can be proud of that, and you can get on Facebook and be proud of that, but at some point in time, that's got to be enough for you. Council's not going to apologize to you. Chris is not going to apologize to you. I'm not going to apologize to you. Nobody slandered you. Nobody went out and made statements disparaging to your character. You've not lost your job. You've not suffered any ill will in the community. There are greater problems in this world. I sat and listened to children who have been abused for decades by their parents. The fact that you got charged with having a crummy roof that you admit is crummy on a law that you helped write, I'm sorry. There are greater tragedies in the world. And at some point in time, you and everybody else here, we're going to have to either wake up and say, hey, there are greater tragedies, and this is not worth our time or money, or I guess we're just going to be fighting over stupid stuff for the rest of our life and get nothing done. The arrogance and the selfishness that comes out of your mouth over this whole situation, you know your yard is not in great shape. You know your roof is not in great shape. Okay? So you don't have to replace it under the ordinance. So you don't have a misdemeanor. Good job, it's still not in great shape. And you know that. You admitted it. You know what else you admitted? You said under oath that when you came back to council, you were going to fix that law. And the first thing you did was step down. Think about that. While you were under oath, you said you were going to fix this law that has affected other people because now you realize it's not fair. And the one way you could have fixed it was to be on council and write a better law. And you stepped down. So, do what you have to do. Bring your lawsuit. Don't bring your lawsuit. But we're done putting discussing this in the paper. We're done dealing with it. Bring your lawsuit, don't, whatever. But as far as our conversation on it, it's over.
Okay, anything else?
Not at this time.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to department reports. Nothing from fire, fiscal officer.
I really have nothing to report tonight other than the bills have been passed around for approval.
Nothing from police. Joel, you have anything?
Well, we'll have executive session later. And so I can discuss those matters there.
Okay. We'll call that as soon as we get the rest of the regular business taken care of. Moving on, village administrator, Tammy.
Good evening. We have the second reading on the ordinance 2022-01, approval and granting consent to the director of the Ohio Department of Transportation to apply, maintain, and repair the roads and the highways that come to the village, basically.
Okay.
We have that second reading. And then the other thing I have is just to talk about the snow and the snow removal and commend my three village employees that I've had working on the snow and snow removal. They were out all night long last week. They were out very late tonight, and they've been out late other nights and early in the morning working on the streets, and they've done a great job. And that's Ryan, Nate, and John. I thank them. And I thank the village residents for their patience with all of that snow removal. I know that I had a lot of questions about alleys, and everybody was really nice and respectful, calling me about when their alley was going to get done and things, and I appreciated that. Alleys we have to be very careful with because of the grindings that we paved with last year, that they didn't want to scrape them all back up, so you know, they weren't as clean and clear as we wanted them. It's just one of those things we'll have to work around all the time. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. The one thing about our lighter dump trucks, they're not the best with a deep, deep snow. And come Tuesday morning, both trucks were down, had to be repaired. And I was in Zanesville, fortunately was able to pick up parts. And we had the trucks down for probably 5-6 hours on Tuesday, and we got them back out. But we were delayed because of breakdowns with both plows. So Murphy's Law, if it can, it will happen. The only other thing I have to mention is that Board of Zoning Appeals will be meeting tomorrow night at 7 for a hearing for a piece of property over on Wood Street that borders up next to the Jones metal property over there. It literally sits side by side to a business zoning area, and it's a garage. They want to put an upholstery business in that, so that goes to the Board of Zoning Appeals tomorrow night at 7. So they'll be addressing that. Other than that, we can move on to committee reports. Buildings and property?
Nothing at this time, Mayor.
Community and business development?
Nothing at this time.
Community relations? Nothing there. Finance?
Nothing at this time.
Nothing for fire dependency board ordinance?
We met on the 17th. We discussed parking tickets and the pay and bid finance ordinance, and we'll schedule another one to work on the parking.
Did you see the email from Amy regarding the...
Yeah, the pay. Yep.
Doesn't look like we'll be able to do that. So, okay, park board.
Nothing to report on the park board right now.
Planning commission?
Nothing on the planning commission.
Okay. Public safety? Well, do you have anything for public safety?
No, nothing tonight.
Public works, Rich?
We met on the 17th to discuss the scheduling of weekend work at the wastewater plant and overtime and all that stuff. And, about it.
Okay, nothing from records retention, nothing from rules. We'll take care of ordinances and resolutions. We only have one up for a second reading. Ordinance 2020-201, the approval and granting consent to the director of the Ohio Department of Transportation authority to apply, maintain, and repair standards, longitudinal pavement marking, and erect regulatory and warning signs on the state highways inside the village corporation limits, and giving consent of the village for the Ohio Department of Transportation to remove snow and ice and use snow and ice control material on the state highways inside the village corporation limits, and giving consent of the village for the Ohio Department of Transportation to perform maintenance and or repairs on state highways inside the village corporation. That is the second reading. I don't have any other business scheduling committee meetings.
Oh.
Anybody?
That's you.
That's me. Finance on the 14th.
6:30?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I want to do an ordinance meeting the first week of January, or second week of January, like the 7th, 8th, 9th.
I don't care.
The 8th at 6?
February 8th.
Is that good with you, Rich?
Yeah, I'm looking.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
The 8th at 6, ordinance for parking tickets. If you want to know what the agenda is.
Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. Go on. Finance, February 14th at 6:30. Ordinance, February 8th at 6:00 p.m. Bills have been around?
Yes, sir.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Okay, entertain a motion to go into executive session with just council members present to discuss litigation.
Motion to go into executive session with just council members present to discuss litigation.
Second. It is 7:44 p.m. We are now off the record.
Roll call. Cheney?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Thanks so much.